Welcome to another edition of In the Know. I'm your host, Tony Reeves. Now, this is going to sound like I'm having a morbid conversation, but really I'm not. It's what I call life after death. And really what I'm talking about is preparing yourself and your family members for what happens when someone passes away. And there's two parts I want to talk about. So the first part, I want to talk about what I like to call siblings versus siblings. Now, this is going to sound corny when you hear it, but this is literally how it goes down. Because I've had this conversation as an attorney where friends call me on the phone and it goes pretty much like this. The loved one has passed away and all of a sudden I get the call. And they're like, oh man, my mom and my dad passed away. And of course, after I give my condolences, one of the first things I do is I tell them, I said, okay, let me tell you about a few things that's about to go down. First and foremost, we're talking about everyone's emotions is heightened because somebody you love has now passed on to glory. And so now you're in this unique situation where you have to kind of take care of their affairs. And let me just go ahead and prepare you for a couple of things. First and foremost, if you're lucky, your parents have a will, but if they don't, get ready for things to be funky. Second of all, when I say funky, I mean expect somebody to act a fool. And what I mean by act a fool, I mean expect someone to sit there and basically show out in ways that you probably hadn't seen before. And it's amazing because it's like so many times I've had it and it's happened every time whenever I've had that speech. I'm like, all right, somebody go act a fool. And they're like, well, who? I'm like, I don't know who. I just know my experience has been anytime people pass away, emotions are heightened. People are amped. They've just lost someone they loved. And now they're sitting here and they're grieving. And unfortunately, they're going to show their backside. And you're going to tell yourself, no, no, no. And it's usually the person you least expect. It's somebody you're like, wait a minute, not them. Why are they thugging out and so forth? Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to wrap your brain around it. Just know, real talk, at the end of the day, because of this, they're in that situation where their feelings are at an all-time high. They're hyped, they're amped. And so you're going to see this happen. So what does that mean for your purposes? Why, when I say sibling versus siblings? Okay. Imagine this. Here's a situation where your parents who, you know, if you're blessed, your parents have lived a nice long life and, you know, they have a lot of things to show for the things that they've been through. But when they pass away, it gets weird because if there is no will, and I'll talk about this in a few, you're now having to decide about the assets. And, you know, it's amazing. Most of us go to our houses and visit our parents and so forth. We probably don't even really think about all the stuff that they have. We see it, we keep on moving. But once they've gone, then these assets take on a greater meaning. Because guess what? This was mom's favorite, you know, rug. This was, you know, dad's favorite chair. You know, these are different items that they have that are significant. Maybe it's dad's necklace. Maybe it's, you know, mom's chainsaw. You know, it could be, and all those things may seem weird, but you're going to have some assets that have sentimental value, and then you have some assets that have actual value. Because if you've got a situation where you've got a house or a car, you know, if the car and the house is paid off on, you're now talking about who was intended to get the house. And then I can tell you, the assets part is really funky fly. Because if it's something that everybody had their eye on, let's assume that your mom had this rare painting that she's had that was passed down to her from her grandmother and her grandmother's grandmother that's been in the family for generations. Now, all of a sudden, everybody is jockeying to get their hands on it. You're like, man, look here. She meant for me to have it. Well, guess what? If there's nothing in writing about that, now what you're going to have is situations where siblings start squaring up and getting all mad at the world because they think that's something that they're entitled to receive. And let me be the first to tell you, that is never a sexy endeavor. And it's amazing. Even little things, like I've seen family members get wild out over silverware. I'm like, really? Silverware? I'm like, yeah, because the silverware has significant value. I can give you another great example. You know, I'm lucky because it's just me. My mom only had one child. You know, the last time I went to visit her, I remember going through her house telling her about all these different heirlooms that she has in the house. I mean, she has like my great grandmother's first radio. I mean, like radio with the dial that you have to basically has like this big needle and so forth. My mom's got an old curio cramp cabinet that my great grandmother had. You know, all these different things that you're sitting here going from a antiquity standpoint are very expensive. Well, imagine it's just me. Imagine if you're in a situation where you are have siblings, and all of a sudden, your siblings know how valuable these things are. Some of them may want to sell those items, and some of them may want to take them and keep them within the family to pass on to future generations. And those conversations are never fun when you're fighting over what those are. And let me be the first to tell you, as an attorney who used to practice law, and I used to tell people all the time, you don't want the courts to figure things out. You really don't want the courts to come in and have to say, okay, y'all fighting over this? The easiest thing to do is to sell it and split the proceeds. Then all of a sudden, people start losing their mind. Well, guess what? If you can't decide what you want to do with this particular thing because both sides want it, split the baby. Nobody wants to do that. And that's where it tends to get a little wild. Which then goes to my next point, funerals. You would be surprised how many times people get into fist fights over funerals and what their parents or their loved ones should be dressed in when they're going, you know, when they're going to be placed in the ground. And that's not funny, but it's wild. Even things as simple as, do you want makeup on? Well, no, she never wear makeup, or he never wears hair, get that off his face. To the suit, to the dress, to the casket, to even which funeral home you're going to use. It may seem wild, but if your parents have not, and I'm talking mostly about parents, if your parents haven't planned for that reality, then now what's happening is that everybody is in this fist fight over exactly what it is they wanted in terms of how they wanted to be buried. Now, don't get me wrong, they've passed to glory, so they don't care. But guess what? They've left you in the position of having to fight it out with your siblings over their wishes, over what do you think they want. And since they haven't left a will or anything, you're kind of shooting in the dark in terms of trying to decide exactly what actually you're trying to do, or what is it that you can do that can reflect their wishes accordingly. And let's be clear, and I always tell people, when emotions are at an all-time high, rationalization tends to go right out the damn window. But real talk, the hardcore reality is that if you're in that situation where your loved one has passed and there's no will, unfortunately, you are left with the responsibility of having to make the decisions. And funerals are the toughest one because this is your final goodbye. You can always come back to visit the burial site and so forth, but that's usually your last hurrah in terms of physically seeing them, because you figure you've got three points here. You know the person, you've seen them when they're living, you're now seeing them when they're deceased. And then going forward, you'll only see them when you visit a marker that represents where they've been laid to rest. So for some people, that ability to be able to send them off in a particular way is huge. And if you're leaving it up to the kids, who all have their own individual experiences with their parents differently, it could be an ugly situation that you're dealing with. Which then goes to my final point. I know I've talked about wills, and I've said this before. If there is no will, unfortunately, you're left to follow the laws of the probate laws for your state to honor the wishes of your parents. And another part that's hard about it is that a will ultimately dictates what they actually wanted to have happen. And the hard part is that you're leaving kids to have to figure out what their parents want. And that conversation is never good. Because the reason why is because everyone will take together bits and pieces of conversations they had with their parents to try to draw an opinion as to exactly what it is their parents want. And that's where it can get ugly. Because again, if one parent's relationship with a child is different from another, the parent may be telling the child, both children or multiple children, the exact same thing in terms of what they want, but how they're communicating it may be different. So what ends up happening is that you're leaving it up to the kids to put together the pieces of what their parents want. And sometimes those pieces are not always the best in the world. So whenever people come to me and I know, and I, when they tell me their loved one has passed and they're going to take care of the family funeral arrangements for their loved one, I'm always asking the question, is there siblings? Do you have any siblings? And when they tell me, yeah, get ready for somebody to act a fool. And if there is no family, if there is no will, get ready for a fist fight. All right, people, we are back, and I'm talking about life after death. My previous segment, I talked a lot about what happens when it's siblings versus siblings. This one is parents versus siblings. Now, I don't want you to think I'm talking about the situation where parents are actually doing things to harm their children. That's not what I'm talking about. And some of you may be falling into the parent category, but this is what I mean. When you get into that groove of thinking, oh, look here, man, I'm gonna be dead. I don't really care about it. I'm like, oh, it makes my heart hurt. What I mean by that is that a lot of times when I'm talking to people and I'm like, if you've got kids, do you love your kids? Are you looking after their well-being? Do you want to leave your children in the position of having to deal with chaos once you're gone? That may seem kind of silly when I'm saying what I'm saying, but this is ultimately what I mean. When you pass on, your kids are tasked with the responsibility of trying to figure out what to do with all of your things, what to do with all of your assets, what to do with how you should be buried, what to do with how you should look. It's easy to have the, I'm not going to be here, so why should I care about it attitude? That's the easy approach. But the problem is that if you really love your children, you would not want to put them in a situation where they're now stressing out over and stressing out each other over how you want things to be done. So if you know that you have something significant that you want a specific child to get, put it in a will, put it in writing. So this way they're not arguing or haggling or fighting or, more importantly, falling out, talking to each other. Because I've seen families fall apart because somebody passed away and there was something that somebody thought they were going to get and found out that they're not going to get. And that's not a fun situation to have to deal with. So if you find yourself in a situation where you have kids and you want to ensure that when you pass on that they're not going to have to worry about fist fighting over what your intentions are, whether it be for your funeral, whether it be for your finances, whether it just be for any assets that you have, write a will, make it clear. So this way that no one's around here trying to figure out what you wanted, and they can actually ensure that they take care of your affairs in a manner that's consistent with what you truly wish. Thanks for tuning in, as always. This has been another edition of In the Know with Tony Reeves. And as always, I'm Tony Reeves, and always make sure that you are in the know.